This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
And land of darkness, with tumultuous force from the crust of the earth, two worlds come together as one, from the past and the present, celebrating culture and spirit, paving the pathway to our future. It's time for dreaming, urban dreaming, finding your voice, finding your spirit. Joy 94.9. Warren Jacker. Joy 94.9 would like to acknowledge and pay respect to the sovereign peoples of the past, present and future generations of the Kulin Nations on whose unceded land we work, live and broadcast from. We would also like to acknowledge all our brother boys and sister girls of the LGBTI communities.
Hi, this is Alfie Akuri. You're listening to Urban Dreaming on Joy.
Yes, indeed, you're on Urban Dreaming. The time is now 8 o'clock and we're going till 9 p.m. this evening. And this is Sarami on the mic.
Miscellaneous.
Hey, it's Maddie.
Gal's back again.
Hey, guys. Yes, welcome back for another beautiful week and some deadly news, of course. So just for your information, Gal, let us know what's happening for the next show.
The world, yeah. So we are having a chat with Mitch Tambo about the cultural protocols of the ceremonial instrument. And then after that, we're chatting with Bo Jesse from The Voice.
Excellent. And with the most beautiful didgeridoo play in the world, for those who don't know, there was a video that actually went out recently on Facebook, and it's now hit such a point where it's created such conversations. And we've decided to get Mitch Tambo, who's going to be speaking to us online a little bit later today and tonight. And he's going to basically talk a bit more about protocol and, I guess, the usage, the ceremonial usage of this instrument. All right, guys, stay tuned. We're going to play a deadly song for you right now. This is Jessica Malboy with Diamonds.
Shine bright like a diamond. Shine bright like a diamond. Find light in the beautiful sea. I chose to be happy. You and I, you and I. We're like diamonds in the sky. You're a shooting star.
Shine bright like a diamond. Shine bright like a
shining like a diamond. Yeah. Shine bright like a diamond. Shine bright like a diamond. Shine bright like a diamond. So shine bright tonight. You and I, we're beautiful like diamonds in the sky. Eye to eye, so alive. Yeah, we're beautiful like diamonds in the sky. Shine bright like a diamond. Shine bright like a diamond. Shine bright like a diamond.
That was Jessica Mowboys with Diamonds. And you're on Urban Dreaming on Joy 94.9. You can email us at onair@joy.org.au or text us. Send me a little text on 0427-JOY-949.
I'm wondering, are you Jessica Mowboys' stalker? Are you the one?
Stalker?
Yeah.
Well, no, she stalks me.
Ah, okay.
Has she got actual stalker at the moment? Is that all the...
No, because it's a good stalker. It's one of those stalkers where you love to be stalked by.
Yes, I'm her biggest fan.
That's what
trust
I thought, because I remember reading all your Facebook posts and I was thinking, I'm sure you're the one.
And I was like, oh my God, her concerts, and like I went to her concert here at... I'm not going to mention the name because we don't mention her name in here, but the arena that she was in. And it was actually the most incredible arena to see a concert in because it's quite an intimate stage. And so, I wanted to go back to Darwin actually and see it, but I didn't get a chance.
Oh, you're talking about the newly mentioned Yvonne Goolagong Arena.
That's right, correct. Well, no, the Miscellaneous Arena. Oh,
the Miscellaneous
you.
One.
It's just been renamed.
Speaking of Miscellaneous, so you're heading off. You're actually leaving Urban Dreaming.
I have been a little bit missing in action at the moment because, you know, I've been run off my stilettos with work. But I am moving on to, I was going to say bigger and better things.
Oh, that's cruel.
But I won't say that about Tom, my husband. No, I'm joking. But yeah, I'm going back to Darwin for a couple of months just to go up there and work. I'm chasing the good weather. So I'm like, I'm over the cold here. So I'm going back to the beautiful Darwin dry season and taking my stilettos with me and my skimpy outfits, my two-piece. And I'll be getting it out up there. Don't you worry about that. So very excited to be going up there. But I think I will still be a part of the show in some way. I'll be doing Missy's Hotbox.
You are indeed.
So I'll be calling in on the nights that I'm actually... that I can, which will probably be most of them because it's quite early. So if it was a bit later or if it was really early, I wouldn't be able to do it because I sleep in up there. Because I'm nocturnal, because I work at night.
Yes,
and I'm not that type of working folks.
There's more corners.
Yeah, that's right. I own all those corners in Darwin. But yeah, I'm going to be up there performing at Monsoons, Deck Bar, all of the great places. So if you are up there during July, August, make sure you come and see me. I would love for you to come and say hello and do a little live cross with me.
Yes, well, that's what's going to happen. We're going to have a five-minute section for the... I was going to say Mrs. Moistbox, but it's Mrs. Hotbox.
We were going to call it Mrs. Hotbox or Mrs. Blackbox.
Yes.
I like both, quite frankly, but we went with Hotbox, and basically I'll be talking about what's hot and what's not.
Yes, because it will be a little bit moist in Darwin, won't it?
It's dry season at the moment.
Yeah,
so.
that's the time when you do get a little bit wet.
But let's just say that there are lots of Marines up there at the moment, which is why I'm going back as well. But no, jokes.
All right, serious. So just don't forget, Miscellaneous is not leaving us, guys, so there is good news. She's doing correspondence with us from Darwin. So that's
I will
just
be on
awesome.
The blower talking to you
great.
Throughout the show.
Excellent. And speaking of blowers, we've got the blow-ins, and these new blow-ins are actually Matthew. So I'm going to actually pronounce...
Oh, Matthew.
Matthew or
okay,
Matthew.
Okay, have I been bad?
Yeah.
So Maddie is one of our newcomers, and he's obviously been working for the last couple of weeks with us, and it's been awesome having you on board. And of course, Gal is our new female representation, besides Miscellaneous, of course.
That's right. And what did I say to you before, Gal?
You said that at least I'm pretty enough so I can replace you.
Exactly. No, I said you're really pretty so you can replace me. So I'm very happy.
I didn't hear the really.
But I must admit that Maddie and we should have like a little camera in here because this is a hot room. You know, like we're all very hot, hot to trot, you know, black people. So
yes. sexy and black.
Sexy and black. There's hot chocolate in here, let me tell you, folks. So,
tell you what, 50 Shades of Black.
Well, that's right, you know. We got faces for radio, let me tell you.
Now, speaking of the sexy blacks that are in here, you guys might want to be able to listen to us more often or be sexy yourselves and join us, do your membership for us. It is Radiothon at the moment, and we are tipping on $52,000 short of our target that we want to get in the next 10 days. So if you love listening to Urban Dreaming, listening to us, and also the rest of the wonderful shows on Joy, then renew your membership or even donate, because you could win yourself a nice Holden Astra, $27,000 worth of car. You could get in there and drive up to see a miscellaneous in Darwin in your very own car.
That's right. And there's lots of other prizes, isn't there, that's happening. I saw this. And it's so great. I'm just seeing that as well, is that, you know, over 83% of the funds are there. And, you know, that's such a great amount. So please dig deep for that last little bit. And, yeah, as we said, go on the prize. You could win an Astra. It's an automatic as well, so you don't have to do much.
So what do we call when we do our membership? What's the number there again, please?
So you can contact us on air at joy.org.au, or you could shoot in an SMS at 0427JOY949. This is Miscellaneous's Last Night, so do dig deep. Tonight is the night to do your donating.
Well,
I would
on that
say.
As well, because I was going to suggest that if people do enter, basically sign up for membership, then we're willing to do something sexy in the studio tonight. So whether Miscellaneous decides to take a little, do a little number for us, or whether we take off an item of clothing, possibly.
Oh, you don't want that.
There's some sexy boys in here and girls. So
that's right.
Yeah, keep that in mind, guys, and definitely SMS us, because we'd love to hear from you, because this show is, you know, I think it's one of a kind, really, in this actual on the Joy Station, and it's something we want to definitely keep. So we must always look after our shows, and that's for everyone that is on Joy. So please SMS us. All right, guys, stay tuned. You're on Joy, Urban Dreaming.
Tambo is a TV presenter and has worked all over Australia, predominantly in remote communities. He's worked as a co-host and currently the host of a series. He is outgoing, enjoys travel adventure, meeting new people and learning about different cultures. He is an established didgeridoo and a player and dancer, and he's performed all over the world, including the Philippines, Rome, Middle East, Paris, Spain and Vanuatu. Please welcome to Urban Dreaming, Mitch Tambo.
Yeah, you guys do your homework.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, hello.
How are you, Mitch?
I'm well, thanks, brother. How are you?
Excellent, excellent. So the team is here. This is Miscellaneous.
Hi, how are you?
And Maddie.
Hello.
Yeah, great, thank you.
And hey. We've got Gal.
Hi there.
So it's a big group you to talk to. Now, the reason why we rang Mitch is because Mitch is actually a ceremonial cultural dancer, singer, and he also is an amazing man on didgeridoo. You've got a lot of knowledge on didgeridoo, but in regards to what we're talking about, the discussion is about the most beautiful didgeridoo player in the world. Now, this has been something that's been going through YouTube for the last week, and there's such controversy that's dealt and, I guess, brought up with the idea of a woman playing the didgeridoo. So I guess it's about, you know, what we've been brought up with and what people feel entitled to. And I guess that's the reason why we rang you, Mitch, because I'd like to hear some of your insight.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I come across that YouTube clip as well of that woman playing. And to be honest, I really sort of had to force myself to click play after you made contact to have a look, because I just originally didn't feel like it was for me to even to go near, you know, like in terms of wanting to view it. And I skip through it, and for me, it just comes back to, I think, people just, taking the instrument as such and just looking at this thing with that has no purpose or no historical value, or that it's not connected to anything. You know, it's like, let's just use it, and, you know, like, and to me, like, the clip was also almost like sexualizing the didgeridoo as well, the yiraki, and I just found it really not tasteful and quite disrespectful. But the thing that come from it was someone that's not educated, you know, someone that doesn't understand or has ever dove into Aboriginal culture, our history, our values, what the yiraki is related to, what it's connected to, what is its ceremonial purposes, you know what I mean? And I think that this isn't a one-off thing. I think it's just something that's made it to YouTube and got massive hits, but this is something that happens everywhere, within Australia and around the globe. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it is massive, Mitch, this idea of people being able to pick up any instrument and play it. Would you be able to give all of our listeners out there just a broad brushstroke as to why the didgeridoo is an important ceremonial instrument for our people, and probably yeah. why, well, women, but people who aren't within our culture shouldn't play it?
Sure. Look, Before I speak, I just always like to say, you know, this is my perspective and this is what I was raised to believe. You know, obviously we've got different values across Australia, but in the way that I was brought up, the yiraki is sacred and very ceremonial in men's business. And yes, not all of us countrymen from across Australia have the yiraki in our culture, but our nations that do, it's very sacred and ceremonial to men's and to men's law. And it holds great value and significance. And this isn't like a recent history. Our culture goes back 70-plus thousand years, and it's never changed. It's sacred to men. It's a men's instrument, and it belongs to us in our ceremony and our law. And, look, there's different values. There's different, perspective or rules, if you like, that surround it, depending on the nation you come from. But there's definitely the broad consensus that it's a men's instrument. It belongs to men's law and ceremony. And, I think, I've seen some clips, I think, on YouTube of some young or elders talking about other non-Indigenous women playing it and their perspective. And their perspective was one that maybe it's something that could be done. But, again, I think it comes back to, you know, if it's done and it's about knowing where it comes from and what its significance and what it's really connected to. It's not about, you know, just grabbing it, sexualizing it and jumping on cliffs and just making it this big, the most beautiful didgeridoo player in the world. Like, that's something that's just, it's just showing no consideration for our people, our elders. And it's just coming from a place of, I hope, that has no understanding. Because if someone's doing that and they do have an understanding of our culture and all that, well, that's beyond disrespectful, isn't it? So.
But, Mitch, this has been going on for many years now. So the didgeridoo has been sold in pretty much every tourist shop you come across. You know, there's not only the didgeridoo, there's a boomerang, you know, there's a spears, et cetera. The list goes on. So I guess what was that?
No, you're right, go.
I'm just thinking in regards to that, like, you know, this disrespect's been going on for many, many years. So why is this now such a big kerfuffle for this one girl playing didge? Because I don't know, what's your view on that?
I think because she's got bulk hips, she sexualized it in the sense, like, it's this, you know, thin-looking woman, you know, she's dressed like, you know, she's sort of like dressed in a crop top or something and short shorts or something, I forget, but...
What's she wearing, miscellaneous?
Like, oh, yeah. Well, it wasn't very good, whatever it was.
Like they've made it quite like it's fantasized, like this yiraki. She's like on these cliffs. It's quite like, to me, watching it, it's quite sexualized. It doesn't show culture. It's just this girl half dressed or whatever you like on cliff faces and stuff and throwing around this yiraki, you know, and I think it's caught a lot of attention because of social media and because of how it's being portrayed, you know what I mean? Mm. I mean, because there's other artists around the world, like you're saying, brother, like you've got Tracy Chapman and all those mobs, you know, she played yiraki in front of thousands of people in her concert. And you could probably trace that on YouTube too, but it hasn't got that backlash. And women shouldn't play it period, and we know that. But, I mean, in the conjunction with the two stories, the way that it's been played and dealt with and used and what it portrays, it's just caused outrage amongst all of our mob nationwide.
Yeah, I can really understand what you're saying in terms of it being sexualized, because it was very exposed, it was very insensitive, and I think that's where the issue sort of pops up here, because as a child I was very, very, very sensitive to this tradition. And I wasn't even, like, with the vacuum cleaner, the boys would muck around in the rooms pretending to, you know, practice. And even that, I wouldn't participate in even just practicing on a vacuum or anything like that. I was very, very sensitive to the tradition. And it was year 8 high school camp at a private school, and everyone got cardboard tubes. And they would said, all right, we're going to play the didgeridoo. We're going to see how it goes, and we're going to watch a video clip of some people playing the didgeridoo. And I was outraged. I was like, I'm not participating in this.
So what made you do that, though?
What made you
instantly feel like this is not right?
Yeah, it was just growing up with that traditional mentality, and it was constantly said women aren't allowed to play the didgeridoo. And it's not a concept of patriarchy. It's not that men have more rights than women in the indigenous culture. It's just purely we are divided at times in a traditional aspect, and that was something that men do, and women do other things. They have their other tools, they have their other instruments. So I was just totally invaded by that concept when I was 12 at a private school, and now I'm watching this video again of a woman who is sexualized on this cliff, and she's got this face sort of paint on, and there's no recognition of Aboriginal culture in it. There's nothing. The most beautiful, you know, didgeridoo player in the world, it totally underestimates and undermines all the amazing Aboriginal men and artists similar to yourself who are doing what you do. So
And you know that the Yidaki, you go up top end, and the song lines, they're not just made up. That Yidaki has carried certain song lines for 70,000 years. Like, this is a very sacred instrument we're talking about here. This just isn't like a guitar. This is something that holds great, great knowledge, and when it's played properly and those ancient song lines are played through it, it breathes. You know, it breathes life. It gives back.
Yeah, it's not, you know, just for music.
Yeah, and I think, you know, like, Suri, you're in the arts, and I'm in the arts too, but I think that there's just, like, misconception, or, like, lines have been blurred, because I don't know if you have come across it, but often I get the thing of this fellow saying to me the other day, and we're talking about this, and I said, you know, I wasn't too comfortable to do shows if a woman was talking on the Yidaki, because it's a men's thing, and to me, I don't think I want to be a part of that. I don't think that fits with men. But a lot of people's opinion around those things is, well, it's culture. And if we don't share culture, culture will die. But they always seem to refer back to, like, well, look at the African-Americans. They started jazz. And if they don't share, if jazz wasn't shared with the wider world, jazz would have died. But our culture isn't culture like the arts realm. Our culture is way deeper than that. It's a way of life. You know, if you want to compare it to something, you know, it's deeper, it's biblical. You know, it's before the Bible. It's not like culture like the arts. You know, and I think there's this misconception here with our stuff, because it is song, it is dance, it is painting, it's storytelling. It can come under that banner of the arts culture, but it's not.
See, Mitch, I'm sure you can agree, though, with cultural ways, traditional law back in the days, L-O-R-E, when you think about the very, very first custodians of the land and how their usage of ceremonial practice continued for so many years, like you say, over 100,000 years. But today's world, in contemporary world living, like, you know, things have changed. Things go in different directions. So why isn't it okay for a woman to play didgeridoo? Like, when you think about the contemporary twist of it all, it's like, what's... People are believing that they are okay to do certain things now, but obviously we believe the protocol has been broken. But what about those people? Like, there was an article was written about this specific situation, and one of the girls mentioned that she said she actually got permission from some of the elders down towards Northern Territory, and she was saying that women actually did play didgeridoo then. So, you know, there's obviously these mixed, traditional understandings. But, what's your view on contemporary work? because I know yourself, you play didgeridoo and you also, you use a bit of flares.
Correct.
And, you know, all these other extra sort of, I don't know, I can't speak musician-wise, but you have these extra
No, but I'm a contemporary guitar player, you can say. And look, the thing is with my work is, number one, I acknowledge that it's not traditional song lines, that I acknowledge where it comes from, and I acknowledge also the fact that, because I've seen online as well, the thing of, well, isn't the Yidaki from Top End? So doesn't that mean other black folks from across the nation, they're misappropriating it too because it doesn't come from their country? And it's like, we need to rewind here and remember that 70,000 years ago, we're already travelling the whole nation and we're trading and we're communicating. So the Yidaki was already probably everywhere. We know that. Now, for me, for someone that's been brought up that way and I've got the Yidaki and I play it, I use it in the contemporary context to tell stories, my view, as a contemporary Aboriginal man. So you'll see in my stories that I've got language and I'm telling stories in the contemporary context as an Aboriginal cultural man. And they're purely my stories. They're not, it's not me going, this is a 70,000-year-old song line. Do you know what I mean? But I think that this thing of, you know, I think that there will always be this constant battle of, you know, it's contemporary, women should be able to play it. And I mean, I've heard that in some of our communities, Yidaki, women are allowed to play. And I have heard young men say, look, they would probably teach a non-Indigenous woman how to play.
But the woman never played on ceremonial grounds. We know that for certain.
That's right. That is exactly right. It's a men's instrument. And in the context of culture, in the context of ceremony, in the context of Aboriginal law and culture, we know that it's a men's instrument.
Unfortunately, we've run out of time, Mitch. We have to finish it off there. But no, we can carry this conversation on for sure.
If you put it simply real quick, it's like going, well, you know, Jesus was said to walk the earth thousands of years ago. We're all walking that journey now, so why can't we rewrite the Bible and why can't we do all these things now because we're in the moment? It's like that law was set, just like our law was set, and you can't play it and do those things today. You don't just rewrite the law.
That's a great way to look at it. Thank you so much for your time, Mitch. And we're actually going to play one of your tracks now. Let us know what it's called.
Dadan.
Dadan.
Enjoy it.
You're going to love it, guys.
Get on my social media and show some love. Thanks, Mitch.
Thanks, Mitch.
Thanks, Mitch.
Bye.
Take care, Mitch.
Okay, see ya.
And that was Mitch Tambo with Dadan, who we just had a great interview with, talking about the appropriate use of the didgeridoo. Also known up Northway, where I'm from, is Yodaki. So there's lots of different protocols around it, as there is names for it, I suppose. And you're listening to Urban Dreaming on Joy 94.9.
Our next amazing guest coming up, guys, his name is Bo Jesse. Check this out.
Break it down. Thinking of making a new sound. I'm playing a different show every night in front of a new crowd. That's you now. Seems that life is great now. See me lose focus as I sing to you loud. No, I ain't crying. No, I won't hurt. So I say the words that make you blush. I'm gonna sing this now.
Wow, interesting, right?
Yeah, he's really interesting.
You need me, man. I don't need you. You need me, man, I don't need you. You need me, man, I don't need you. So you need me. With the lyrics, I'll be aiming it right, and I won't stop till my name's in lights. A stadium match with Damien Rice, or red carpets. Now I'm on Arabian Nights, and cause I'm young and my brother's gonna give me advice. A long night, a short cut, and I've gone hyper. Never be anything but a singer-songwriter. The game's over, but now I'm on a new level. Watch how I step on this track without a loop pedal. People think that I'm about to blow, but I've done a roundabout.
And online we have another incredible Aboriginal artist, Bo Jesse. He's a singer-songwriter, originally from Broome, WA. Growing up between tiny northwest town and the outer suburbs of Perth, he began writing and playing at 16, influenced heavily by modern takes on old tunes and absorbing independent folk masters to mainstream pop culture. Worried is Jesse's first offering as singer-songwriter, producer, co-producer by Casual. Hi, Bo Jesse.
Hello, how are you?
Good, thank you.
That's good.
So, hello, everyone. Everyone's in the room with you, Bo Jesse.
Hi, Bo Jesse. Miscellaneous here.
Hey, Bo
Jesse.
It's Maddie.
Hello. How are you guys?
We're good.
Well, very excited to have you on the line because, you know, I'm just so thrilled that you're, you know, a big celebrity now after being on The Voice and...
Nah, not yet, not yet.
You know, your big spunk up there. I was just watching you on YouTube, actually.
Thank you.
So where are you?
Appreciate it. At the moment, I'm in the heart of Brisbane, just about to... get some old R&B education from my mate Ross Walker. He hosts a jam night every Tuesday at the Press Club.
And what's next for you, Bo Jesse?
I don't know, really. I'm just kind of trying to break into the East Coast. I've just kind of relocated over here, looking to move to Brisbane because I've got some good connections here. So I'm kind of just working on getting a few gigs. I'm kind of in a rock, paper, scissors conundrum at the moment where, you know, I need the gigs to pay for the car, but I need the car to get the gigs, and I need the car to get the gigs to pay for the place to live in Brisbane so that I can get the gigs. It's, you know, it's very very rock, paper, scissors at the moment.
But Jesse, just get a membership with Joy and you could win yourself a Holden Astro, mate.
Yeah.
true.
The life of a musician, isn't it? So
yeah, that's it. I'm definitely enjoying the grind, enjoying the struggle.
Bo Jesse, now, for those who don't know, Bo Jesse was on The Voice, and he was he got the top 11, and he was just knocked out on last Sunday, and unfortunately,
fresh.
But you know, the idea of Bo Jesse, because we know Bo Jesse as Bo Jesse, the boy from Broome, and we also know that you're a songwriter as well. So it's obviously a platform for you, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's a good learning curve, and like they push you. You know, they never let you just kind of sit on a key that you like. They'll always try and push you to go higher and better. And you know, they're very. The thing I liked about The Voice is that a lot of their music team were actual musos. You know, they understood how you felt, they understood how you like to work, and they kind of collaborate with you a lot more than I feel like maybe some other shows probably just kind of try and make you conform to what they have already conceived the idea of you being.
Except for that misplacement of the capo in the first ever audition.
Nah. Yeah, I have no idea what he's talking about.
So on that,
I sang in the wrong key. The capo is exactly where it needed to be.
So on that as well, like I'm so interested to know that obviously, you know, I'm so not a musician. I lip sync for my life, but so don't even like sing live. But you know, like watching a show, we've all been, you know, we've all seen a season of that, and we all, you know, tune in to watch it all the time. What you going on as a kind of a contestant and being a part of that that show. What was the, what, how different was it from actually being, you know, an audience sitting at home on TV watching it? What were the biggest things for you that were really different? You went, oh, I didn't know that about this, or I didn't know this. Like, what
for sure, it's like a bizarre feeling because you, I think you kind of preconceive an idea in your head of like, oh, it'll probably feel like this.
Yeah.
And just being on it, because up until Lives is pre-recorded, I feel like I was on the stage and I didn't feel like I was on The Voice. I just felt like I was at a gig. And then watching it, I felt like I was on the stage.
Yeah.
So it kind of didn't feel real until I saw it.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, like 3 months later. And I'd already known what was happening and what was going to go through. And then there's always that bit where, you know, they kind of, because at the end of the day, it is a TV show. And sometimes, you know, they like to change stuff up a bit. And it's always kind of a weird feeling when someone's, because it's so personal, because it's literally you, and they're kind of controlling how people see you.
Yeah.
So it's a cool feeling, like having someone kind of project you instead of you for once.
Yeah.
But it's definitely nice to kind of be back on the reins and driving my own career again.
And how much control did you have over you? I'm always interested to know when they try and pop you into little boxes. Like you're the family boy from Broome, the Indigenous boy. Yeah. Did they try and stick a bit of glitter on that and really make that your story? Or
not that there's anything wrong with that. Everyone,
nothing wrong with glitter.
Bit of glitter. For sure, I get that. I feel like the only kind of thing that they hold on to, which I don't mind at all, because it is such a unique thing to have, such a musical family like mine, where it's kind of almost a rite of passage to kind of pick up a guitar and, you know, sing in front of people for a living. I was totally happy with that. My whole thing was like, I didn't want to go too hard on the Indigenous angle, just purely because I'm so disconnected from my culture, just because I grew up on the road. Like, you know, I was never home long enough to go learn my language. I was never home long enough to go, you know, out bush with all my uncles as much as I would have liked to. So I was always afraid that, you know, they were going to start pushing that on me. Mm-hmm. Whereas I don't really like talking about stuff that I don't know, I don't have knowledge about, because I don't want to come off, you know, sounding stupid. Mm. You know what I mean? But like,
well, you still got that Broome accent, though, let me tell you.
That's the only fear I have about talking about culture, is that I'm so disconnected from mine that I feel like I need to just go study it for a year before I, you know, come out and talk about it too much, you know?
Well, that's interesting you say that, because I actually sense that your spirit was strong throughout the whole way in representation of who you represent. And it's just,
I definitely feel connected to my country. Mm. I don't have enough knowledge of my, you know, my Yaru culture to, you know, speak about it openly.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's a lot, that's a kind of feel that a lot of young Indigenous mob have.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's there's a lot of us that are in that same situation, you know, like a lot of us, you know, come from urban areas, and particularly, you know, my family in particular, you know, my mum and her family were taught that being black was a bad thing. So you didn't talk about it, or you didn't speak about it. So, you know, but, you know, I know that my culture and my heritage is strong in me, and I know that what I do, exactly what you do, you're a kind of a role model, and you're, as I think what Suri was saying, is that, you know, we could see that in you. And, you know, I don't think you have to go to some kind of cultural school, or you have to, like, you know, like that, it's innately in you, and, you know, you're being connected to your family and country is good enough.
And I think there was an amazing video clip actually of they filmed you going home and sitting down at the beach and having a campfire with your family. And I think that representation of that normality and of that culture, without emphasizing that it was Aboriginal, was really, really beautiful. Yeah. And it was lovely to see, I guess, you in a very sensitive position where there was a lot of emotions attached to being home. And I completely understand that, because I'm from Derby.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm always longing for home. True that. I'm always longing for home.
I feel like I'm very lucky that I probably have an opportunity to, you know, break a lot of stereotypes. Mm. Especially just the fact that, you know, first glance, you might not think of me as Indigenous. So I feel like, you know, going forward, I have a lot of opportunities to break some pretty hectic stereotypes.
Yeah, and it is important that you just remain that role model for all the Kimberley kids back at home and all the Broome people. I mean, even if you're not out there flaunting the Aboriginal culture, at least you're being a role model to those at home and showing everybody that you can travel across the country and do your thing, and no matter what family you come from, you can break those barriers.
Yeah, there's a lot of mob who are really proud of you, Bo Jesse, and I'm sure you're aware of that. We're going to ask you a couple
of quick, very grateful for it.
Quick little questions before you head off, and then we're going to play one of your tracks, actually, because this is one of your songs that we wanted to show just the capabilities of what you do as a songwriter as well. But, just a quick question. What do you regret most in the show?
I feel like I had a really cool opportunity to play the game, because at the end of the day, I feel like you need to play the game. And I feel like when I was offered that opportunity to kind of take on the duo with Sally, at the time, it was cool for me to, you know, say what I said and, you know, most respect to her. And I just, at the time, all I was thinking was artistry, who I am as a person. Whereas kind of looking back and having hindsight on it, I wish I had played the game and just kind of, you know, because who knows, like, we probably would have got heaps of votes because it was such a big story, and our battle was literally one of the best battles that the show's ever seen. I feel like for us to go forward as a duo probably would have benefited us both, to the point where it would have been worth sacrificing a bit of, like, oh, you know, I think I was just a bit too much of a an artist at that point in time. And even though it was such, like, it was a good decision and I'm happy with how I spoke, I feel like that's probably one of the only things that I wish, you know, I might have even been on the show today still if I had said yes going forward.
Yeah, well, my biggest thing is I want to know, what are those celebrities like? Like, what is Kelly Rowlands like? I would love to meet her. I'm so envious.
They, it's crazy. Like, you always think, like, oh, you probably freak out when you meet them. And I think a few people did, but most of the time I spend with Kelly mainly, you know, she's such a mother, like she's such a mum that you kind of just feel like your family instantly. She's very nurturing.
Yeah. And you're probably a little bit too young to remember Destiny's Child, but you probably know him, but you know what I mean? Like, I was dancing to Bootylicious, so I'm like...
I definitely know who Kelly was going into it. I always had, you know, Kelly or Seal in my mind for my selection. So when she turned up, I was very, very happy.
If I could sing, that would be my two.
So I'm interested, if Kelly was like a mum, now that, you know, obviously the show would have wrapped by now or whatever and you're no longer on it, do you have any contact with her, or is there a chance for her to support you?
They're still going at the moment. And the biggest thing about Kelly was that, you know, she was a new coach, so she was kind of just getting feel for the reins. Whereas, you know, Delta's been doing this for the last 6 years, you know, she's contacting her artists like every day, making sure, you know, they're prepared and stuff, and Kelly's still kind of just kind of getting a feel for it, I feel. And I'm pretty sure she's super busy as well. But I ran into her at a publicity thing the day after, and, you know, we had a good chat about all that sort of stuff. And, it's crazy. The show's still going, you know, it's got 2 weeks, the grand final's in a couple of weeks, and, you know, I'm just kind of watching it and waiting, hoping that my boy Judah gets through.
Yeah, right, because I was just wondering whether they do sort of fill your head with promises of we'll catch up and we'll have a chat and I'll mentor you through your next bit, and when you're producing your album, let me come in and have a listen and I'll sort you out, that kind of thing.
Well, there was that whole big story about one of them, wasn't there, about one of the judges that made all these promises and then
left them high and dry.
Well, that's just kind of the industry that it is, really.
Exactly, like, exactly.
You know, you'll kind of get promises from some people that just won't.
Of course.
That won't follow up, but, you know, you just got to hold on to the people that do follow up.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Bo Jesse, on that note, we're going to say thank you very much for making some time with us. I'm going to say goodbye, Gaga. And for those who don't know the word, Gaga means my uncle. And if anything, we're going to play your track now. And can you just quickly explain what the song Tables is about before we play?
Tables. Oh, lovely. So this is a song that I wrote about the child's perspective, about my perspective when I was younger. Growing up with domestic violence in your family. So this is a personal song to me about, you know, me growing up around mum and how just a few things that we went through as kids.
Thank you so much for your time, Bo Jesse. All the best.
Too easy, Gugs.
Catch bye. Up.
Thanks, bye.
Thank
See you.
See
you guys. Saw them break one by one.
they broke your table. One by one, you let them in again. Once a fool and twice an idiot. Three's a pattern, and I'm not having that. So hold me back and hold me strong. Our future lies within your arms. Cause I was on the outside looking in. Saw them break your walls and cave you in. And one by one they broke your tables. And one by one you let them in again. Take a cut for what it's worth. Cause now I stand packed and ready. Tall and curly by my side. Choose right and choose wise. Cause I can't live on the outside anymore. No, I can't watch you close your doors. Only one by one they break your table. One by one you let them in again. Oh, I've seen you fall and I've seen you cry. I picked you up again. One by one they break your table. One by one you let them in again. One by one, you let them in again. Why do you let them in again?
I don't know what happens there. It's a party for
Bo
Jesse.
Yeah.
We did just have Bo Jesse and his song Tables is what you were listening to just before the break. And that was a bit of a party tune for a good vibe for
Miss. That to be, yes, that's right.
Speaking of parties, we should have a little going away party for you,
Miss
Lennius.
The band's just come in. We're ready to party because I'm leaving.
We're really sad. this is terrible.
So dramatic. No, it's not dramatic.
Nah, she's not leaving, guys.
Because, I know you're making it like I'm gone forever and I'm never coming back. It's like
the
making
death
me feel
of
emotional. Yeah, exactly.
We're just getting the best bit of her. We're just getting her hot box.
Yeah, that's right. I'm leaving you with all my good bits. But it's been a really great journey so far. I'm not going to talk about it like I'm never coming back. But, when we first started Urban Dreaming and we had the really...
We had no build-up.
We used to do the 11 p.m. to midnight slot. And we'd, be the last ones enjoy locking up and everyone be gone. And we're, waiting for the text to come through. No one would ever text us. So it'd be, it'd be a very sad time. But here we are now.
Hey, you've got to start somewhere.
Look at your team here. We've got an incredible team.
This is the Urban Dream Team.
Dreaming Team. And I'm so glad that I can still be a part of it in some capacity. And I'm really, these two here, Gal and Maddie.
Plus Declan.
And Declan, yes, who's I bet you's listening right now, the big hunk of spunk. But I'm so excited that you're here and that you're a part of this family, really. And
don't forget Chris the panelist.
Yeah, Chris, the big hunk of spunk as well over there.
He's a lovely sing.
You know, it's been really great to be able to come in every week. And I think the biggest thing for me was about creating visibility and a voice for our community and our brother boys and sister girls. And, you know, we know that we have the highest rates of suicide in this country and really in the world, and we need to change that. And the way we're going to change that is by communication, by speaking out and by communicating. So, you know, I'm so blessed to be a part of this show and a part of Joy, and can't wait to be back soon.
We're going to have to say goodbye, guys. We've run out of time.
I just want to say a big shout out to Pauline from Mittagong. Thank you so much for your membership.
Well done, Pauline.
Love that. Yeah. And enjoy Triple Bypass. It's up next.
Great. Okay, guys, stay tuned. Yes, deadly show. I'm saying goodbye. It's Rami.
Yeah, well.
Bye.
Oh, miscellaneous. Bye. Cuckoo.
Oh. And there you go. It's not playing.
We've had some gremlins tonight, haven't we?
Yes, we have indeed.
System.
So that's why we need Chris in the panel.
That's all right, yes.
But hey, you mob, this is Davey, and you're listening to Urban Dreaming on Joy. Deadly.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.